quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and His mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven, He must look down in pity. For those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned up the danger that lie in their path. But they heed not His mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity. And those who so careless forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the point of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day. When fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity. For those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day. When fire and heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down on pity. For those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, the judgment day is coming. What an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. At the sounding of the trumpet, at the dawning of the day, worldly pleasures with their treasures shall forever pass away. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Poor lost sinner, will be crying. Part of home they'll never see, but the ransom will be singing. Rock of ages, clap for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be a pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Poor lost sinner will be crying for the home they'll never see, but the ransom will be singing. Rock of ages, clap for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, clap for me. The day is just up the road. Like that song, see? Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. The days are numbered, eh? Nobody can push it off, you know, you can't prolong it. You're going to bump right into it. The only thing you can do about it is to prepare yourself for that day, because it's coming. That's what we're doing. We're trying our level best to keep our limbs all trimmed and burned, to prepare ourselves for what's coming. And it's shocking to see how few people really know what we're talking about. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadow, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed. By his side I shall stand, I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed. By his side I shall stand, I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed. By his side I shall stand, I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hands. On a day that will be when my
Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Heavenly Father, we want to come into your presence, Lord, give you thanks for traveling mercies, Lord, for bringing us back home safe from this trip, Lord. And we just pray, just continue to do it as you see fit. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest, for protection throughout the night, from all the weather patterns that are going around. We just pray, Lord, you continue to do it as you see fit, Lord. Lead and guide us by your Spirit. Help us with this very important conversation that we're about to have, Lord. And we just know we need your help on this to make become alive in the hearts of the people who may want to someday listen and apply it to their life, Lord. We just pray you'll help us on the day-to-day basis, Lord, to be mindful of your care and keeping, Lord. But with that great judgment day looming on the horizon, that we'll take time out to prepare ourselves to listen and to hear what's written in your word, Lord, from ages past, that the days are rapidly approaching, the days are numbered, and we're going to bump right into that great judgment day, Lord. We just pray you'll help us on a day-to-day basis. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we had a very interesting experience, to say the least. I went up to that funeral up in Tree Hills. This girl I used to know back in the day, that was back 30 years ago, I had quite a bit to do with her, and we just went up to a funeral. She passed away. She had this Lou Gehrig's disease, and I just want to clear everything up. When you listen to what people say, you're kind of they're not telling you the whole picture of what's really going on, and they even titled it A Beautiful Life. But we're here today to tell you that it was not a beautiful life that she had. Potentially, yes, she could have had a beautiful life, but she walked right into Satan's trap and she didn't even know it, and neither did the people that are surrounded with her that we met up there on this, when we went to this funeral. And the people are not aware of what's going on right at their very doorstep. And they're being taken out to hell and death, and they don't even know it, because, like it says in Proverbs, my people are destroyed. That girl was destroyed for lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they don't listen, they don't hear. They're not sober, they're not vigilant. And we're not being judgmental here. We're not being racist. We're just being factual. And we're telling it to you the way it needs to be told, the way it's written in the Scripture. Because, and like we said it over and over again, everything is driven by a spirit. There's nothing new under the sun. I think it's in Ecclesiastes, really. I'll read it in some different places. I'll read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. The thing that had been, it is which shall be. done. And that which is done, that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. It's just a repeat. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It had been already of old time, which was before our generation, which was before Adam and Eve. All these things that you see it out there, it's just being repeated and repeated and repeated. There's nothing new under the sun. And then we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. That which had been is now. See? It's a repeat. And that which is to be hath already been. And God required that which is past. Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just because the reason there's nothing new under the sun, the devil can't come up with nothing new. When he got kicked out of that heavenly realm, that heavenly abode back in the day when the judgment came, he can't do nothing new. He just takes what God does, and he takes it and perverts it and twists it, and he keeps repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. That's why it's so important for you and I to have this conversation. What was actually transpiring out at that funeral that we went to experience, and to walk through that? What is really going on? What is the spirit that's been driving this girl like? I know when she was coming up to 17, 18 years old back in the day, and she was excited about the Lord. She apparently had an experience with the Lord, and we'll get into that, what really her experience was, and what really, like they say, the title, The Beautiful Life of Judy. I don't know her last name. I just call her Judy Whips, because that's really what we're actually talking about, is this Judy Whips that happened to get married to this guy from Nigeria, this black guy. And like I say, I'm not being judgmental. We're not racist here. We're just being factual, and we're just trying to bring out the picture the way it needs to be brought up, because the people are deceived, they're deluded, and they're walking out to a path to destruction, and they don't even aware of it. And that because of the decision that girl made, because she walked right into a trap, because she was seduced into this guy just came along, this black guy just came along, just at the right time, just when she was just 17, 18 years old, and this guy from Africa came by and, so to speak, swept her away. But behind it was a spirit of deception, a spirit of seduction, just like it was back in the Garden of Eden. When you go back and you read walk through the Garden of Eden, what transpired back in the Garden of Eden before man fell, there was a certain person involved. There was a serpent involved. And there was Adam and Eve involved. And they were given a commission, we've said it, over and over and over again. They were given a commission to be fruitful and multiply. But see, here was Satan. We're lurking in the shadows because he comes from a former civilization. He was in a fallen state, and all the devil does, he knows how to pervert things. And he was watching in the shadows, just waiting for the right moment, the right time, to come and introduce himself, this newfound thing, to introduce it to Eve. And that's the same thing, exactly that the same thing happened to that Judy Whip up in Tree Hill, Alberta. And that devil sits in the background, and he waits, and he has a vessel prepared, touched at the right time to jump and to make the move on that little innocent girl that had apparently had an experience with the Lord, and she's just coming up to the primal life when there comes a time in her life when the body sets up a desire for a husband, a desire for having a family, and all these emotions, all this is working together just exactly what it was back in the garden when Eve began to be introduced He was given the commission to be fruitful and multiply, and in that commission, but God gave them a warning. There is only one way to be fruitful and multiply. Partake of the tree of life. Just use sex for reproduction purposes only. Because something was being set up, something was being happened in her life, and her body, and her physical makeup, and Satan is watching in the shadows, ready to make the move, and he had a vessel there prepared, that serpent. Creature who was not a snake, he was not a reptile, he was a servant, doing Adam and Eve's chores, doing their bidding. If they wanted an apple, he went and got an apple. If they wanted work to be done, if they wanted a batch of flour, he was there. All Adam and Eve had to do was give him the order, but he was a tool that the devil was going to use to pervert just at the right time when Eve was coming around to her reproductive cycle. He was watching it. He knew all about this, that spirit. See, it's all about the spirit, because there's nothing new under the sun. And here this spirit is waiting for that girl, for that Judy, just to fall into that trap, into that romance trap, into that seduction trap. That guy from Nigeria had said that the devil, he is going to use that very person, that very instrument to do what? The devil knows exactly when to jump, when to show up. But see, it's up to you and I to stay alert, to be sober, and to be vigilant, and to tell your children what's happening, what's coming on. There's probably a breakdown in the family structure. I don't know the whole thing about that whole episode, that why she would have to marry a black guy when she's a white woman. Why would she have to marry this guy from Nigeria? I know a little bit about the family history, because the family, they were dead against it. They fought the tooth and nail. They did not want to be part of it, but she was seduced. She was seduced into going down that it, because behind it is the spirit of Satan, and he works through seduction, just like he did with Eve back in the garden. He just used it because Eve came along. When she was asked what happened, she said, The serpent beguiled me. He had a certain way of introducing this brand new relationship, this brand new sex for pleasure thing. And behind it was, you got to see the spirit behind. That's why we keep saying there's nothing new under the sun. And that's why we keep saying that everything is driven by the spirit. And you have to be sober. You have to be spiritually awake. But apparently these people up there, they were not sober. They're not spiritually awake. And now that girl, that Judy Whip, she has polluted that whole environment up there that they somehow they got intermingled with the Mennonites up there, with the what they call
the Huldeman Mennonite,
the one they carried again. And now that whole environment there, that old township is polluted simply because he walked right into Satan's trap when he had that guy come from Nigeria and he had that girl just at the right prime of life, and there she walked right into that trap through the seduction of that demonic force, and they don't even know that that's what it is. Like, yeah, sure, the family was against it, but eventually, you know, they cave, and eventually they give in, and eventually there they got married, and eventually now they have three children, and now they intermarry with the Huldemanner, and the whole thing, the whole camp is polluted with this guy from Nigeria. And we went and we studied it with maybe you can tell better what kind of a spirit that man is of. He's not a Christian man. He's not, they give themselves out that they're a Christian man, because they have to do just like the devil does when he came to Eve. Oh, did God really say? He had such enticing words to speak, and he just knew exactly what to speak and how to speak. They come along with these smooth, enticing words, and you're just being swept away because you're being seduced and deceived into walking right into a trap, because Satan has an agenda. He has a program. He wants to take that whole countryside, that whole Huldeman religion, that whole Mennonite thing, and he wants to take it out to hell and that, and they're not even aware aware of what is going on, to the point where they do exactly what Balaam told Balak, what he needs to do to destroy these people, and bind them to your marriages, and bind them to your parties, and bind them to your meal. And that's exactly what's the breakdown of these Mennonite people out there, and they're not even aware. Now it's broken down, and now they're intermarrying with their children, and before you know it, that whole camp is polluted, and they didn't even know that they were taking advantage of. That's behind it. It's the spirit of Satan. That's exactly what's right. Mm-hmm.
It's called the Igbo religion. I-G-B-O.
That guy that's in Mulford that married that girl.
Mm-hmm. The Nigerian. See, that's the Nigerian religion. And they make it, like any religion, they'll make it look good. Mm-hmm. Like they respect the elder and things like that. But when you read the history part of it, they believe in the ancestral spirit. See, and that's what you bring along with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you introduce your family with to. See, that the tree of knowledge of the good and evil and the tree of life is really a choice. What choice will you make in life? Well, obviously, she made a wrong choice.
She didn't ask her parents, number one.
Number one, she went against her parents and totally ignored their advice and went and married this Negro from Nigeria, this black guy, and introduced her whole family line into that religious, ancestral, voodoo kind of religion that these Africans are in. You know, even if people think it looks good, it appears good and stuff like that, you have to realize what these religions are all about and what you're introducing your people. Like you said, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's why we're having these conversations, is that people are informed and are aware of what is out there, and that God has, like, if you have the freedom of choice, but there is a right choice to make. And the choice that you make draws you either closer to God or away from God. Now, these people down there, they have all good things to say about her, but the fruits of it, what are the fruits of it?
Yeah.
The fruits are very similar to when you look at America. When they rejected the prophet, they accepted all kinds of wickedness into their doors.
Mm-hmm.
When they rejected what God had, the prophet for this age, and the message was to let's go back to the Bible. Let's go back to the faith of the early church. He was going to lead people back to that faith, and they rejected it. And that's what she did. She rejected the advice of her parents, of everybody around her, and went and said, I'm going to do my own thing. And that's what you see down there now with this infiltration of all kinds of different gods, of different religions, of different spirits. And there is no way these people will find their way, because it's such a mishmash. That's what that gray horse rider was sent to do, was sent to make everything so gray that people will never find the way of truth.
And he brings along that seduction.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize. Alex Spears here with that Lyle Cook, he came along with new teachings. And I determined in my heart, I'm going to ask him about it. And then when we came up there to the meeting, I was completely paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even open my mouth, because we dealt with that thing as a seduction spirit. And that's what happened to that girl. She was completely seduced. That no matter how you reasoned with her, no matter how you pleaded with her, she was convinced, because she was under that influence, just like the same with Eve. Eve was seduced. Eve was in that trance, almost like she was in a trance that she just got swept away, because she went to Adam and said, Adam, this is really good. Look what I found. But see, what she should have done, she should not have listened to that serpent-like creature. She should have gone to inquire to Adam. What do you think of this? Looks like that girl. When that guy came along, she should have gone straight to her parents. And, Dad, what do you think of this? Mom, would you okay that relationship? Am I being seduced? Am I just going out of my boundaries here? What's the scoop here? What do you suggest? What do you say about this whole thing? Well, they would have definitely told her to run from that thing, just like Adam would have probably told Eve, just run from it, don't go near it. But she went without the advice of Adam, and she just walked right into Satan's trap, because you got to realize, like I said, over and over and over again, behind everything, there is a spirit. There's a spirit of truth, spirit of reality, and here is the spirit of Satan. And all these demonic forces, and with it comes that spirit of deception, with it comes that spirit of delurement, just exactly like Paul said, and the lad, the seducing spirit, they seduce you, you absolutely have absolutely no power against them, because they entice you and they bewitch you. That's the word I'm looking for. They kind of bewitch that you're beyond reason, because it looks so good, but you've got to see the spirit behind it. Otherwise, you're being swept down to hell and that, and you don't even know it. I kind of feel sorry for all these people. These men are not, they're good, clean people, and they have good intentions, but they walked right into that trap. Now that they're married and they start to enter marriage, these girls take guys from the older men, and now that whole camp is going to be polluted. And believe you me, you have no power. I don't care how good your intentions are. You have no power against these Eastern religions. They will eventually take over, and you will have no way to fight that thing. The only way you can do it is to separate yourself and take the advice. What happened back to the Israelites back when Nehemiah came, and they had already intermarried, and he gave them order to just completely separate yourself from these foreign women and from these things. That's the only way you can do it. You can only get away if you separate yourself, just like you and I. We had to separate ourselves from these people that taught contrary to the things that we have been taught. The natural types, the spiritual. And I'm not going to go up there and give them advice what they should do and what they shouldn't do, but the damage is done. They call it the beautiful life of the Judy, and then it's not a beautiful life. It's a horrible life. It's a nightmare life, because she walked right into a trap, and then the proof is in the pudding. She'd been diagnosed with this Lou Gehrig's disease. You call that a beautiful life? It's a nightmare. It's a horror how you have to die. And it happens simply because it says, come out of her, my people. Come away from this Eastern religion. Come away from these false gods. And if you don't, you're going to partake of their sin. And you're going to receive the plague that are written in that book. And that's exactly how she died. He died with that plague. Exactly what Jesus, what the Bible warns us about. Come out of her, my people, or you will partake of her sin and receive her plague. And he told the Israelites, if you walk in my ways and obey my commandment, I will not allow none of these diseases that I put on the Egyptians, I will not allow them to come on. Well, apparently, she was not walking in the ways of God, and apparently, because that disease came on her, that horrible, terrible, I think it was diagnosed 2 years ago, and for 2 years she'd been dying with that horrible, horrible nightmare of a disease that you lose control of your muscle, and say the most horrible thing, you can't breathe because your lungs need muscles to breathe, and then your heart needs muscles to pump, and before you know it, you're just dying a slow death simply because she did not take the advice of her parents. Now, I could come along and tell you everything is rosy, the beautiful life of Judy Whip, and I tell you all these things are good and glorious like we experience up there. They have nothing but good things to say. But the reality of the thing of it is, the fruit, the proof is in the pudding. Because you can see now, she's diagnosed with the disease, and she's doing exactly what the Bible says. You partake of her sins, and you're going to receive her plague. The adoptees, the Eastern religion, and she, like I say, she had Nobody to advise her, like she didn't even ask. Mm-hmm. You just pulled her way through, and now what the worst of it is, now they come on and pretend it's a glorious life when it's mm-hmm. not. We're just telling people the reality of it, the facts of it. We don't like to rock the boat. We wish that we had something else to say. But you've seen it up there with your own eyes, how that whole camp, is that Mennonite camp, that they're clean living people, or so it appears to be, and now they're introducing these religion, these Eastern religion, and believe you me, like I said, they will win out because they have been at it for ages mm-hmm. and centuries, and they're adopting all that stuff. You can go onto the internet and you can study that the religion that he's out of, even more than Red Cap that these islands were, whatever you want to call it, I don't know. You know more about that than I do.
Well, everybody can look it up on the internet, Igbo, and you have to realize where that ancestral spirit comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, when you will look at all this African voodoo stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and it's really worshipping whatever sacred animals they worship and stuff like that. The devil has just introduced Christianity into the African people with the Catholics and the Anglicans and these things and other missionary groups, but they've really never let go of their ancestral spirit. Mm-hmm. So you have a mixture of cultures and ancestral spirits there and religions there. So all that you're bringing along with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really happening. And people will say, you know, that is racist and these things. But when you take it to the Bible, you can always take these things to the Bible. How particular Abraham was when he said to Eliezer, I want you to go up to the place where my people are and get a wife for my son Isaac. So Eliezer ventured out to get a wife from Laban's sister. And those were their relatives.
Their ancestry.
They were, yes, their relatives when they came out from the land of the Chaldeans. They went up to Haran, and there they dwelt. And Abraham ventured further down to the land of Canaan. And they, he wanted Eliezer to go and get a wife for his son Isaac, and that's what he did. And even with when Isaac and Rebekah had Jacob and Esau, Esau took wives from the Hittites,
mm-hmm.
and it was always a grief to Isaac and to Rebekah. And Rebekah said, "I do not want Jacob to take a wife from these people here." And then they sent him up to Laban, and that's where he had received his wives from Laban, the two daughters of Laban, Leah and Rachel. And see, that's how they wanted to keep, how God wanted to keep that race pure.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want them to be defiled with these gods, other gods. And that's what happened to Solomon. He married all kinds of strange women, and his heart strayed from God because he started worshiping the gods of these other women. And that's really what happens there. And God is very jealous over these things because you are introducing your family tree with different gods.
Ancestral, different mm-hmm. religion.
That's
Eastern
right.
religion, mm-hmm. ancestry gods, and all that attaches itself to it. And it goes right back to Africa, right back to the satanic worship. And they say that's where the cradle of civilization was. That's where Satan's beginning was, mm-hmm. back in Africa. And you can sure see it by all these strange religions that they bring mm-hmm. in. And that girl, she walked right into a trap, just like Eve walked right into that that level of seduction. I had a little bit of a taste how that thing can paralyze you, that you're completely beyond reason, and that's how the devil gets a lot of these young girls. They come up to this, they feel something developing in their system, and this romance starts building up, and the urge and the need for family, and the devil, he knows exactly what to show up, and then he brings in this, all by design, he brings in this guy from Africa, because he, behind it is a spirit of Satan, and he has a plan and an agenda. He wants to pollute that whole countryside with that Eastern religion, and these Africans and these people, they actually go get educated. Mm-hmm. How they come into the West and how can they get these white girls and how they can enter marriage and interracial marriage. And they're trying to do that. And people are asleep up there. They don't even know what's going on. Yeah. That girl had her own choice, and she defied what her parents and her brothers and everybody else. They were not for it. I know enough about that whole episode. But eventually, what happens, it wears down your resistance. But what the thing would have been done, now if you can want to go marry that guy, you're strictly on your own. Don't get us involved. Don't get us involved in anything. Don't get us involved in your marriage. It is exactly 100% your life, your problem, and everything that goes with it. Just keep us out of it. Would have been a lot better. Now what they're going to do, they're going to just to be the nice guy on the block. What they're going to do, they're going to just try to be a little bit better than the Hutterites when they shun people. They're going to try, and what's going to happen? They're going to enter marriage, and they're going to be, it's going to be a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And every day it goes by, you're more and more integrated into these Eastern religions. Mm-hmm. Because, believe you, you have no resistance against them. Your only one thing is, run, Simpson, run. That's get right. Out of there. Separate yourself from it. That's what we had to do. We had to separate mm-hmm. ourselves from these teachings, from these false teachings. And that's basically the long and the short. We've gone through the same thing. You had to make your choices, and you went to the Lord, and you prayed, and it came to you too, where all these people would come and they would wanted to sweep you off your feet. But see, there was something inside of you that you made a decision you're going to live for Jesus no matter what. We all go through the same thing. Mm-hmm. I had to make a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. And believe you me, the devil knows all about the decisions you make. And he's going to make sure, he's going to throw at you to derail you. But you've got to have your mind made up. You are going to follow the Lord no matter what it costs. They can throw at you everything at you they can, but you're not going to cave. And that's how determined you have to be. And like I say, I knew this girl back in the day before she got married. She had some experience with the Lord. And we went and we asked, we inquired. Somebody told her that she actually met Jesus out on the road. And then you went, and I think you went and asked what really is behind that testimony. Apparently, she had a testimony the Lord met her.
See, there is the word when God told Adam and Eve not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the word. Don't mm-hmm. partake of that tree. That was the word of God. See, they went against the word of God, and they made a choice and did exactly what God said. He said, partake of the tree of life. And see, that's why the word of God, if you don't have the word of God in you to anchor you, you're going to make wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. The story was, there was two old women there when we drove up to the parking lot, and they said that she encountered Jesus when she was still on the colony with a bunch of her friends, and she encountered Jesus out there. And see, she didn't know the story. She just took hearsay and went and just told it further. See, I don't like hearsay stories. I like to hear the story straight, and there's no
discrepancies.
Yes, and nothing that the devil can use. So I went and inquired of the story from a person that was actually present. And She was actually there. She's from a colony, and I asked her about the story where she apparently had this encounter with Jesus. She said, well, Judy Ann had a lot of stories. But this particular one, she was there with her, and she said, Judy had said to her that she believes God gave her a gift of speaking in tongues. Now, that's on the Hutterite colony, and speaking in tongues, that was something that is not really talked about. It's not believed in. It's just something that's in the Bible that you really don't do.
But it's contrary to what the true story was.
Yes, exactly.
When she had an encounter with Jesus, when she had just a feeling that she needs to speak in tongues.
That's
right?
All it was. It wasn't this encounter with Jesus. She just had this thing that she believes that she has a gift, the Lord gave her a gift of speaking in tongues. And that was apparently that encounter that lady had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's kind of making the story into a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I went to the source and asked the real story behind that. And that was the story. See, and then I said to her, to the lady that comes from the colony, that I asked about this encounter that she was supposedly to have, if she was able to interpret. And she said no. And she said she did tell Judy that the Bible says if there is no interpretation there, that it's best that you do it at home alone between you and God, that it's not worth confusing people over it. See, that's the Word of God, right? That is the Bible.
That's like saying, partake of the tree of life.
Right.
Nothing wrong with reproduction, but only do it from the tree of life, and everything would have been out the door.
Everything would be good. See, you can take that and run with it, but behind it, Satan will entrap you because it's not backed up by Scripture. And if it's not backed up by Scripture, the devil can get you. That's why I say, the Word has to be your foundation. And if it's not, then you better question what you're doing. Because the Word one day will stand before you. What did you do with this part? What did you do with this part that God was very particular with who people marry? He is not a God that wants interracial marriage. He isn't. Race should stay with race. And I'm not a racist person. I am the opposite of a racist person. I believe in people staying with their own people because it brings a lot of turmoil into the picture that does not need to be. You're bringing two sides of cultures together that war against each other, and then the offspring brings in more confusion for those offsprings, and they'll never find themselves.
They're bringing spirits.
That's right. They're bringing more spirits. And these children, that's what people don't understand. What they do to their children is when they do that. Finding yourself is going to be very difficult.
We'll have to continue with this subject because it's such a deep subject, and it controls every young girl. Like Satan, he knows exactly when to entice these young girls to go up, and then he shows up. Satan has everything all figured out, and there's that tall, dark, and handsome guy come in and sweeps you supposedly off your feet, and that girl, like when you came up to your age of that age there, when your brother rescues Lorraine, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get married? Or what? What are you going to do? And you told him, I'm going to see what Jesus had for me. And then the devil heard that, and God heard that too. But see what's going to happen. God will give the devil a chance. He's going to test you. See if you really mean what you say. See if you really want to know what the Lord has for you. And then eventually the devil comes along with every so-called guy in town. And pretty soon you're being drawn this way, you're being drawn that way, and before you know it, you have to go through this test. this time, and because the devil heard you say, I'm going to see what Jesus had for me. And by the grace of God, you made it true, and now you have doing the most valuable, the most priceless thing, because you made it true that time. It didn't come overnight. You're not just sitting here doing these things every day. Just by the whim of it. You had to go through the years and years of testing to prove yourself if you really mean what you say when you said, I want to see what Jesus had for me. And you had it, that, like I say, you had to go through your test, just like that girl should have had to go through her test. God had a calling on her life. There's a lot of things that's not going to be done simply because she walked right into Satan's trap. And all these people that she could have affected, she had a calling on her life. I know she did, because I saw her before she got married, before Satan got a hold of her and then trapped her and took her down to that path of destruction. That's the only place where the devil can take you, down to destruction. And now not only her, now she's taking that whole camp up there, and the people, they don't know what's going on. They're not there because they're asleep. They're so into materialism that when we come in and we tell them these things, there's not one person up there at that fellowship meeting that after they had a meal, and not one person that we could talk to about what we're talking to here. We had to just kind of leave things alone and then come on. And then I thought to myself, well, we're going to have a conversation. What is really going on behind the scenes? What the reality of all this is? Behind it is the spirit of Satan, because there's nothing new under the sun. He's been at this game over and over and over again, and he knows exactly when to jump. Here's that little girl, 18, 19 years old. That's when I met her, and I think I might even have stayed at her place overnight, because we had a lot to talk about back in the day. I think she was already engaged, or kind of thinking about marrying this guy. So there's these two things are battling. The spiritual journey and this guy wanting to get married to her. It was kind of confusing picture. And like I say, she told me that she wants to get married to this black guy, and I didn't know what to say, because I didn't know what the whole scoop of it. But now I can talk about it. Now we can have a conversation on it, and we can tell you the spirit behind it. But at that time, I didn't know myself what's going on. I just knew the parents were not for it. They were vehemently against it. And all she would have had to do was go, Mom and Dad, what should I do here? Here's the situation. What do you suggest? Well, they would advise her to do the right thing, and they would have advised her to get involved with that guy. And eventually she would have obeyed the parent, and eventually God would have had a mate for her that would have worked out to her honor and to her glory, and you wouldn't have that mess you got up there now. It's just, like I say, it's terrible. There's a reason. Black people that's coming up here now, and here's the Mennonite, the older men. They're very strict people. You can see them, when you see them, they got the women all modestly dressed and everything, and they have a pretty clean culture, to say the least. But now they're introduced to this Eastern religion. And believe you me, behind it is the spirit of Satan from these Eastern religions. Just go onto your internet and you study that voodoo religion, what it brings with it. It just brings all kinds of stuff with it, and we experience it with our own eyes. We saw it, and we're going to keep talking about it, and bring this thing out in the open. What is really going on? What's the reality? No, it's not a beautiful life that Judy had. It's a horrible life, and it led to destruction. And led to destruction of that young girl. I just remember her as 18 years old. I don't know what she had to go through in life, but I'm sure it was a bummer. It was a horrible death for 2 years. She's looking death right in the face. The thing where you lose control of your muscles. I think it's Lugaric disease or something. But it's part, whatever it is, it's part of these plagues that God promised. If you walk in my way, I will not allow none of these things to come upon you. And if they come out of it, my people, or you will partake of her sins. That's even the worst. And you will receive her plague. Because great is the Lord that's going to judge that thing. And they were right in the face. That's the reality. What we're saying here is reality. We're not being hypocritical. We're saying it the way God wants it said. That's why he's been dealing with me. To have these conversations, to say it exactly the way he wants it said, and to give people the truth of the matter. That's what we're going to continue to do. Pray.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for a safe journey back, for everything you've allowed us to see, Lord. We just pray we'd draw a picture to people that they'll be able to see, Lord, your principles and what you require of man. That there's ways that they can walk, that you can bless them, but their choices that they made bring diseases and sickness on them. It's not you, God, that does that. It's just the choices that people make. So we want to make that clear to people that it is very important to require of you and seek your word and what you have to say so that we can have a healthy, blessed life and live before you holy and upright. So we just want to draw that picture in the hearts of people, Lord. Let it become a real and alive to them that they would want to serve you, the true and living God. We just give you thanks for this day, for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.